Okay, we're back. Hour three on this Monday night. Mitchell Henderson is here to give us some really important and wise insights into the international geopolitical military-industrial complex, Zionist Jewish-controlled Western world at the very least, and what's really going on out there. Mitch is on top of this story. Big time, and has been for, I don't know how long you've been doing this, a couple of years now, Mitch?
2 or 3 years. I can't even remember now.
No, it's time flies when you're having fun. Huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
God. Hey, and the crazed Jewish government, that's me, I'm not speaking for Mitch, the Jewish government, the Jewish regime that is now running and controlling Ukraine, to the bitter end, is now talking about everybody, the general of land forces says, everybody must fight to protect Ukraine. Everybody. They've lowered the age now to 26 for conscription. That's drafting people. We used to call it impression. I'm impressing people into the Navy in the old days, but they're just forcing these people to go and die. Put them in the military, you off, and you die. Men and women. Right? 26 years to 59.
Let's be precise about that. That is America that is making them do that. We are demanding that of Zelensky. We are demanding that of the government. We are the ones insisting that these young men go to their death. After all, they're just young white Christian men. We need to get rid of them anyway.
You mean Goyim, Mitch? You mean Goyim?
Yes, Goyim.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
And maybe a million Ukrainians have now been sacrificed at the hands of their Zionist, Bolshevik, Jewish, illegal government. Completely illegal. It's an overthrow of Yanukovych.
Do.
They always do. They're masters at it. Now,
they're
here's the other.
To us, too.
That's right. That's what I was going to. Anyhow, go ahead and tell us where we are and where you think this is going to go. And for those of you wondering about, remember when the Donbass was cut off in your mind's eye from Ukraine and Russia held elections and the people in Donetsk and Luhansk all voted to join Russia? Well, that part of eastern Ukraine was actually the money part where all the industry was, all the raw materials were, the eastern end of Ukraine, the Donbass. Do you know that after 2 years of hideous fighting, the Russians have still not reacquired that land that the people voted to take into Russia, the Russian Federation? The Russians have still not taken it all back from the Ukrainians. Still. The Ukrainians still own control, militarily speaking, parts of the Donbass. This is to me, mind-boggling. When you know that Russia could end this war in a matter of a couple of weeks or even a day or two, and it's still going on, World War I all over again, but with higher tech. It's sickening. 1 million Ukrainian Christian men and women have been slaughtered. There were 45 million residents in Ukraine. It's down to the low 20s now. So you got 20 to 25 million who have fled, 1 million who have been killed. And we're not even talking about, if a million have been killed, you can bet that 2 million have been wounded, and many, many permanently. All right, Mitchell, the floor is yours.
So let me explain why. To put this all in perspective, one word, Antichrist. Okay? So what is the Antichrist? The very fact that we have to ask that question demonstrates the great effectiveness of the brainwashing we receive. The churches tell us that it is a mystery that we cannot know. This is dissembling. This is misdirection and a lie. For the first 1,400 years of Christianity, everyone knew that the Jews were the Antichrist. During the Protestant Reformation, the Pope became the Antichrist. This was hyperbole because the Antichrist denies that Christ is the Messiah. The Jews clearly deny this, but the Pope never has. This was the beginning of the obfuscation and misdirection away from clearly revealing who the Antichrist is. Simply put, the Antichrist is anything against Christ. It is, in fact, obvious. It is in no way a mystery. Who is against Christ? Remember, Jewish King Herod wanted Christ snuffed in his crib. The Jewish Pharisees and Sadducees had Christ crucified. Judaism is and always has been against Christ. But let me kind of compare this, because really the Old Testament is talking about the Jews and how they just don't get it. Remember, God takes them out of slavery in Egypt, brings them into the Promised Land, and the first thing they do is build a golden calf. They just can't accept God. They will worship anything but God. So God says, well, I'll make this easy for you. I'll just send somebody, and through him, boom, you're all with me, you know. And what do? They kill him, okay? So this is a pattern throughout the Old Testament. The Jews are, they're like the children of Cain, okay? They just want to murder and destroy and be envious of other people. So in the last days, you'll be persecuted for speaking for Christ. So this is Matthew 24:9. You can say any vile thing against Christ or Christians, but you may never speak against Jews or Israel. The social and legal taboo against identifying Jews as the Antichrist is here now. It can ruin your career and get you canceled on social media. Soon, speaking against Jews will put your life at risk. I saw reports from Jerusalem that said that not many foreigners came to the procession where they carried the cross of the Christ to the site of Christ's execution, called the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem. The Christians do this every Easter in Jerusalem. The video showed Orthodox Jews in their distinctive garb spitting on the people carrying the cross and mocking them, just like they did to Christ 2,000 years ago. The act of spitting on people, memorializing the crucifixion, is an act of the Antichrist. How is it possible that people cannot recognize the Jews as Antichrist? Most of the narratives people believe about the Antichrist are a misdirection. For example, the apocalypse narrative propounded by Christian Zionists are the most well-known and accepted. These are from Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, published in 1970, and Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins' series of books, The Left Behind series, and the movie spinoffs from the 1990s to 2005. The project was a dispensationalist view that holds that the objective of Christ is to save Jews and Israel. This is insane and patently wrong. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 states clearly, I know the slander on part of those who say they are the Jews that are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Christ himself in Revelation identifies the Jews as Antichrist, the synagogue of Satan.
All right, here's the hold on with Candace. I've got a little video clip here. It's just a minute long. There's an American there. He's a Christian. He's visiting Israel. And he's stopped with, I guess, some friends by the Israeli police. And with the Israeli police, as is often the case there, are Israeli citizens. They kind of pal around with them together and witness the police behavior in case there's ever any trouble, you know, covering for them. Well, here's this American who's a Christian in daylight on the streets of Israel, stopped by Israeli cops. And listen to what the non-cop Israeli who's with the cops has to tell him. It's very interesting. The Israeli Jew says to the American, the godly thing to do is kill you. End quote. Here we go.
We don't do anything illegal. You cannot take us to jail. If you are not involved, please go. Shalom, my friend. We bless you.
That's the American talking to the Jew. Shalom, my friend. If you're not going... Go ahead, leave.
Country.
You come to the United States, you can say whatever you want to say. That is the free world, yes?
You're not in the United States. You're in Israel.
I understand.
You cannot say whatever you want to say here.
Yes, you can. It's legal. It is legal to preach about Yeshua. We preach at Damascus Gate. The police said it's okay. We preach at Joppa Gate. The police say it's okay. Please stop. I respect you. Respect me.
Doesn't have to respect you.
Huh?
Doesn't have to respect you.
That is the right thing. Are you Jewish? Do you want to honor God? That is the godly thing to do. We respect one another.
The godly thing to do is to kill you.
The godly thing is to kill me.
That's right. That's yes? What the Torah says.
The Torah says to kill us.
The Torah says that people who worship idols such as yourself, when there is a Sanhedrin,
to kill us.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what the Torah
says. So we know how the Jewish people feel about Christians, yes? That you discriminate against Christians.
Christians are idol worshippers.
You discriminate against Christians.
The Torah says that Christianity is idol worship.
My name is Christina.
You get the idea. All right? There's no middle ground here. These people want us dead. They want Christians dead because they're idol worshippers. You know what the idol of the Jews is that they worship? Money. Call it wealth. Call it power. That's their idol. That's idol worship too. Maybe even worse, yep. Because it's not holy or spiritual. Go ahead, Mitch.
So
back to Candace Owens.
After Candace Owens was kicked off the Daily Wire by its chief editor, the Jewish Ben Shapiro, Andrew Klavan, a Jew who converted to Catholicism, complained that Candace Owens used the phrase "Christ is King," which he claims is an anti-Semitic trope that implies that God has abandoned his people, the Jews, who gave Christ to the world. So Jeremiah 31:37 says, and I'm quoting, "If one day the sky could be measured and the foundations of the earth explored, only then would he reject the people of Israel," end quote. In 1936, Danish scientist Inge Lehmann used seismology to discover the foundations of the earth. In 2014, the Baryon Oscillation Spectroscopic Survey, BOSS, measured the sky by measuring the cosmic microwave background radiation left over from the Big Bang to arrive at the size of the universe. God always means what he says. This means that by 2014, God had given the Jews 2 millennia in which to change their hearts and return to him. The only way a Jew can go to heaven is by accepting Christ. They have shown nothing but hatred and contempt for Christ, and those that do believe in him. Do not take my word and quit listening to your preachers and priests. God is quite capable of talking to you if you would listen. With an open mind, read the Old Testament. This is a story of how the Jews abandoned God. Read Exodus 20:1-3. God spoke, and these were his words. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt where you were slaves. Worship no God but me." Just as soon as they escaped, the Jews built the golden calf to worship. In other words, Jews will worship anything except God. The Old Testament is the story about how the Jews continuously reject God, no matter what. Is Christ God? Genesis 1:26 says, "We will make man in our image." Notice it says we, not I. Let us look at reality. We are made up of atoms. If you take a neutron, which is itself made up of 3 quarks, and let it stand by itself for 13 minutes, it decays into a proton, which is the same size of a neutron that has mass, and an electron, which has much energy but little mass. Picture this image. God is like the neutron. Christ is the sun, like the proton. And the Holy Spirit is the electron. Everything in the universe is made up of these. All substances are, including your body. There should be no doubt about the Trinity. It is in the nature of all things that exist. We are made in their image. So a second time that the nature of Christ, the second time that the nature of Christ is mentioned in the Bible was all the way back in Genesis 5, the genealogy from Adam to Noah. If you translate the names from Hebrew to English, you get as follows. So I'll read the Hebrew names, and then I'll read the translations. So Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. That translates to man, appointed, mortal, sorrow, the blessed one, shall come down, teaching, his death shall bring despairing relief. Or just simply in order, man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing relief. This was encoded in the very first part of the Bible, people. The Jews have never accepted that Christ was God, as Genesis 5 alludes to. They are so clever, but they never got the memo that was in their very first book. The Jews do not accept Christ. John 2:23 makes it clear. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. The Jews deny Christ, so they do not have the Father. No exceptions. I cannot be more clear, Christians. Jews are thoroughly reprobate, godless people. Christ did come to save them, but they rejected him just like they did when he led them out of captivity in Egypt and they built the golden calf. When God comes down to make it really easy for them, they killed him and constructed a proliferation of golden calves, which they worship to this very day. So let me just try to make this clear. When we are discussing the Antichrist or trying to define the Antichrist, we cannot define him by anything except the Scripture itself, okay? The Scripture tells you who it is. I mean, they want to tell you everybody else is the Antichrist, but just listen to the Scripture. That's the one who tells you who it is, okay? That's the authority on the matter. You know, if you don't believe in Christ, well, you won't believe in the Antichrist either, so, you know. So Christ is coming to save Christians, not Jews. Christ is coming to destroy Israel so the world can have peace. Listen to your Bibles, people. Don't listen to other men. Read it for yourself. I'm not telling you to believe me. Just read it with an open mind. Israel is not a holy nation, and it is not under God's protection. 65% of all Israelis are atheists. Israel is the Sodom of the world, is the gay Mecca of the Middle East. Why would God come to save them? Christ was his promise to the Jews for salvation, and they rejected him. They out and out killed him. Israel has shown itself to be so evil. They have slaughtered 22,000 women and children in genocide. Israel is an evil incarnate. They blew away three of their own when they tried to surrender, writing on the wall that they were Jews, coming out under a white flag, taking their shirts off so that they did not have bombs, so they could see that they didn't have bombs strapped to them. But nothing can overcome Jewish bloodlust. They are evil. When
will
Christians understand?
That's exactly fair. Yes, that's exactly what happened. They just killed them.
They just killed them.
This is really sick, psychotic. Oh, awful.
So what you know about the Antichrist is a lie. We keep looking for a specific man when prophecy talks about the Antichrist as a type of man rather than a specific individual. Don't believe me. Read for yourself. These are the Bible verses that talk about the Antichrist. 1 John 2:18, 1 John 2:22, 1 John 4:2-3, 2 John 1:7, 2 Thessalonians 2:1-4, 2 Thessalonians 2:7-10, Matthew 24:24, Mark 13:23. That is the word on who the Antichrist is, okay? The Jews rejected Christ. There is no relationship with God except through Christ. Christ is not on the side of the Jews or Israel, period. When I watch Pat Roberts on CBN make statements saying that Israel and the Jews are persecuted in Christ's name, I am appalled. The Jews and Israel do absolutely nothing in Christ's name. This is a goddamned lie. to see CBN trying to justify Israel committing the war crimes of bombing an embassy, genociding a people, or deliberately hunting down and murdering 7 aid workers to scare people off from feeding the starving. This is an apostasy of worshiping Israel instead of Christ. It is a sickness unto death. Those who reject Christ have one issue, but those who use Christ's name to justify genocide is a sin of a different magnitude. The Antichrist is flooding America with people of color to genocide white Christians, and the Roman Catholic Church and the mainstream Protestant churches are receiving 25% of the funds to resettle them. Christian churches are blindly supporting Israel and its genocide of Palestinians. The Pope is apostate, and these Christian churches are apostate. They serve the Antichrist, not Christ. Christ said that in the last days, even the elect would be deceived. Follow Christ, not the apostate church. Christ can talk to you. You can talk to him. He can talk to you. You do not need anybody to tell you about him. Just go directly to him. He's God. God can do anything he wants to do. So on Sunday, March 31st, 2024, President Biden held Easter ceremonies at the White House. He had an Easter egg decorating contest. No religious themes were allowed. The day was filled with DEI indoctrination for kids. The White House published the program,
disgusting.
And there was no mention of Christ, but lots of multiculturalism and diversity. The disgusting pedophile Biden made an official proclamation declaring Easter Sunday as the National Day of Transgender Visibility. It was a victory of Sodom over Christ for the Sodomite Biden regime.
These are the communists running this country.
Yes. Yeah. This is the U.S. government against Christ. The government of the United States is officially anti-Christ. It is right now, not in the future, but now. They want you to think that things will happen like the Left Behind series so that they can temporize and keep you distracted from who is really in charge right now, the Antichrist. The apocalypse is now. Armageddon may be soon, but you are smack dab in the end times right now. There are no mainline Protestant, Catholic, or Orthodox churches that will tell you this. To say that we are not in the end times is to work against Christ. God is more powerful than the church. He can communicate with you. To think he cannot is to deny his power. Within a week of the Biden regime's elevating transgender people over Christ, what happened? Israel bombed the Iranian embassy in Damascus. This is a war crime, people. Israel did it with an F-35 that the United States gave them. If you provide a gun to someone who you know is going to use it to commit a crime, you are clearly an accomplice before the fact. Israel bombed the World Central Kitchen convoy and killed 7 American, British, Australian, and Polish volunteers.
Mitch, excuse me. This is important.
Yes.
I want you all to know that those 7 who were martyred, slaughtered, sacrificed, killed by the Jewish military were in one car, and they were being moved to another location they were driving. They were under attack. The car was hit. They all got out of the car, somehow alive, ran and got into a second car and took off on the road. That second car was also attacked from above, and they got out of that car, somehow, still all able to move, got into a third car, the van, and that was attacked. 3 separate, deliberate attacks by the Jewish army, and they were finally all killed.
Hunted down and murdered. This was no mistake or accident. So Anthony Blinken, the Jew in charge of U.S. foreign policy, made excuses for Israel. Christian Broadcasting Network made excuses for Israel. They say it was an accident. If you chase down 3 vehicles to bomb them one after another over a mile and a half when they are running, it is not an accident. Crashing into one might be, but not all 3.
No.
The Israelis fired at one vehicle. The people ran to the next. The Israelis fired at it. And when the people fled to the 3rd vehicle, the Israelis fired at it. They hunted these people down and slaughtered them. It was no accident. World Central Cooking, listen to this, this is important. World Central Kitchen closed operations in Gaza as a result. What was the motive? Israel is committing genocide, and they want the Palestinians in Gaza to starve to death. The children are the ones that will starve to death first, and the Jews know it. World Central Kitchen, and keep this in your mind, World Central Kitchen had fed starving Palestinians for 175 days, providing in that time 42 million meals. This was not just some liberal aid group doing a small job. They were feeding the people. They were keeping the people of Palestine from starvation. 42 million meals. That's 240,000 meals per day of quality food, professionally prepared. Everything is crystal clear, but no one wants to see. Nobody can see because they are thoroughly indoctrinated into the Jewish constructed consensus reality. That includes most Christians. If you are a Christian that puts the Jews and Israel first, you will be last. Christ is trying to put you first, and you are in denial of him. He came for you, not the Jews. Corruption always implies impunity for evil. Israel has broken the Geneva Conventions on war crimes consistently and comprehensively and with impunity. Israel has broken the Hague Conventions on crimes against humanity with impunity. Israel has broken the Vienna Convention on diplomatic relations by bombing Iran's consulate in Syria with impunity. 2 days later, Ecuador attacked the Mexican embassy in Quito, Ecuador, to retrieve a politician that took refuge there. Mexico and Nicaragua broke diplomatic relations with Ecuador. The U.S. could not condemn it because they did not condemn Israel for attacking another embassy. The sodomite Biden regime says that America stands for the rule of law. Only Americans are deceived by this. The rest of the world knows that the great whore of Babylon is, in fact, the lawless one, who allows its master, Israel, to act with total impunity. America is the Antichrist. Israel is the Antichrist. The European Union is the Antichrist. There should be no mystery or no question by now. Of course, the Antichrist likes to come in sheep's clothing. Both Trump and Biden are trying to say that God is on their side. God, but not Christ. Remember, if you do not confess Christ, you do not know God. God is not in either of these men's side. They are both Antichrist. Do not be deceived. First, Trump's Antichrist advertisement. It's from a video called God Made Trump. Of course he did. He made everybody. I want to read to you what it says. This is a transcript of the God Made Trump video. Right. And on June 14th, 1946, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God gave us Trump. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, fix the country, work all day, fight the Marxists, eat supper, then go home to the Oval Office and stay past midnight at a meeting of the heads of states. So God made Trump. I need somebody with arms strong enough to wrestle the deep state and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to ruffle the feathers, tame the cantankerous World Economic Forum, and come home hungry. Have to wait until the First Lady is done with lunch with friends and then tell the ladies to be sure to come back real soon and mean it. So God gave us Trump. Okay? Trump is Israel's bitch, and God does not support Israel. Just keep that clear in your head, okay? Then Biden's Antichrist advertisement. Yes, he has one, too. His video was put out by Faith Forward. Faith Forward is a Christian ministry that appeals to young people. And this is the transcript of that video, and I'm gonna start now, and this is the quote. On the sixth day, God made all of us. God said that we need leaders who can unite rather than divide, who stand on morals and values, and who don't idolize dictators and bullies. God said, I need someone to protect consumers and families from corporate greed, workers from wage debt. students from crippling debt, seniors from overpriced medicines, homeowners from discriminatory lending, and loved ones from gun violence. God said, I need someone strong enough to protect the planet, strong enough to fight the monstrous evil spreading across the globe. God said, I need someone to give their whole life in service. So President Biden answered the call. God made us all. Together we make our democracy strong. Thank God we chose a faithful president who doesn't worship himself or undermine the Constitution he swore to uphold. For such a time as this, we pray to God what is true in our hearts, 4 more years. Did you just hear all of those lies and they're saying that God approves of these overt, obvious lies? It's using God's name in vain, to say the least. I can assure you that God did not say any of this, and the man who wrote it, Dave Chinos, does not know God. He is a Unitarian Universalist. It is not a Christian denomination, and they openly say so. This is using God's name in vain. Biden is Israel's bitch, and God does not support Israel. Jews do not know the Son, so Jews do not know God. God has given the Jews 6,000 years to come to him, and he even went to them, but the Jews would rather have faith in any other thing than him, any other thing at all. It looks like Christians are doing the same thing. They have faith in their leaders, in the church, in the preachers, in theology, but they do not want to have faith in Christ. Christian Zionists put Jews and Israel before Christ. They better wake up before it's too late. To be clear, both Donald Trump and the disgusting pedophile, Joe Biden, are antichrists. Both are bitches of Israel. God does not support either one. I can say that with moral certitude. It is a rigged game. It does not matter who wins, Biden or Trump, Russia or America. The antichrist wins for a while. It leads inevitably to civil war, World War III, Armageddon, and the collapse of civilization.
I'd say you're right. I don't know what other outcome we're facing. This is not going to end easy. There's not one single sign or act by any of the Western Bolshevik governments against Russia that point to a de-escalation. Not one.
Nothing. No will to speak at all. Look at all the talking we did during the Cold War. We were always negotiating. If there was a crisis, there was a hotline. These people talked to prevent. I mean, they were interested. These people in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, these people, our leaders, whatever faults they may have had, they did not want humanity exterminated. That's the difference between then and now. Now they don't give a shit if we all go up in a nuclear cloud. They don't care. Not only do they not care that we starve to death, they want us to starve to death.
That's correct.
So that is
They hate Christians. That's rule number one. You got to understand that. These people really do hate Christians. And calling Christians idol worshipers, well, they worship power, control, greed, and money. Those are their idols. The hypocrisy here is truly beyond belief.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you think that there is an apocalypse, if you think there is an Armageddon in the future, okay, then you have to go back to the narrative that is predicting this, okay? And that narrative says very clearly that there's two sides, Christ and Antichrist. And the people who are against Christ, okay, I mean, rabidly against Christ, are the Jews. I mean, it's so obvious. It's also obvious from the fact that you are not allowed to criticize them and you can be punished if you do. In the future, if you really support Christ, they're going to want to kill you, okay? So, but...
Well, you just heard him in the video. Christ, that's a typical sentiment of an average Israeli. They believe that Christians should die. Kill them.
Yeah.
He said it.
They, in the very core of their being, they believe that. You know, here's a little thing. This is from the book of Esdras. Okay, so in the old Bibles, they had this book. It's in the Apocrypha, okay? In the book of Esdras, it has this thing in there. It says that you'll know that it's in the end times when the stones shall speak, okay? You know this thing I'm talking on right now? This is the stones, because when you look at those rock-faced cliffs out there, the sand on that beach, what is that? That is silicon dioxide. Does silicon dioxide speak? Yes, it does. That's what's in all these chips. That's what's in all these electronics. Silicon dioxide does speak. You know, silicon speaks. And so here we are. The stones speak. I mean, this was written, 3,000 years ago. And here we are today, and the stones are speaking. Because stones are silicon dioxide. That's what the mantle of the earth is made up of. And that's what we use to make all this electronics. So we have computers, we have social media. This is it, people. It's it. Yeah. Okay. So it's sort of unmistakable. So let me talk a little bit more about fighting in the city, because each week I want to tell you a little bit, to just increase your chances.
These are more survival tips. This is what you're going to face if you're in an urban area in a city.
Yeah.
And the fertilizer hits the rotating blade, and you're not going to be, you do not want to be unprepared. I just can't even imagine not being prepared. And yet many people, I think only 3 or 4% of Americans are truly adequately prepared right now.
Yeah, and I'm trying to talk about the city, because you should get out of the city. In talking in the city, I'm telling you how difficult it is to survive in the city. So you should get out. So I'm talking about how to get out of the city, okay? So moving inside buildings. Yeah. When moving within a building that is under attack, you should avoid silhouetting yourself in doors and windows. If you can be seen, you can be hit. If forced to use a hallway, you should avoid presenting a large target to the enemy. You should hug the wall and get out of the hallway as soon as possible. Watch for booby traps. The enemy often booby traps windows and doors. When entering a room, avoid using the door handle. Instead, shoot through the door, then kick it open. If you find a booby trap, let your friends know about it and leave it alone. Trying to defuse a booby trap can be booby trapped. For example, when people make pipe bombs, they will put wet gunpowder on the threads as they're closing it. The powder dries on the threads. If you attempt to open it up in the future, the friction ignites the now dried gunpowder on the threads and sets off the bomb. Don't fool with it, okay? Urban warfare demands the use of hand grenades. After the fall, there may be hand grenades available. When I went to conflict zones in Latin America, grenades could be had for as little as $1.50. My point is that when there is anarchy, all kinds of things become available. Hand grenades are very easy to make, but making one in peacetime is a major felony. If you make them now, you may be in a federal prison when everything falls apart. That is bad for your survival. Most white supremacists that go to prison go there for weapons or explosives charges. When there is no government, you may elect to make some, but you still must be very careful. Small mistakes with explosives can mess up your life and your chances of survival. My life is cursed with the damage that explosives have done to me. My parents told me not to play with matches. I will advise people not to play with explosives. That said, hand grenades are very easy to make. There are lots of videos on YouTube. Go ahead and know how to make them, but don't make them until the shit hits the fan, okay? Because they're just going to use that as an excuse to take you away.
Sure. Yep.
Throw a hand grenade in each room before you enter. Be careful of rooms with thin walls and floors. The shrapnel from your grenade can penetrate it and unintentionally wound people outside the room.
Never happens like that in the movies, Mitch.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like if you're in Japan with paper walls, I mean, yeah, that's not going to protect you from grenade shrapnel, you know. So as soon as the hand grenade goes off, rush into the room as fast as possible while shooting. The first one in the room backs quickly against the near wall where he can observe the entire room. He should engage any targets with rapid fire. The second one in the room systematically searches it. Meanwhile, the support party in position outside the room being cleared provides outside security for the people inside the room. When working with a team of people, use voice signals. Always let others know, others in the assault team know where you are and what you are doing. Once a room has been cleared, the assault party yells clear to inform the support party. Before leaving the room and rejoining the support party, the assault party yells coming out. When moving up or down a staircase, assault party yells coming up or coming down. You don't want to be shooting your own friends, okay? So tell them what you're doing so they're not surprised, okay? It's better to use a mouse hole, a hole about 2 feet wide, blown, smashed, or cut through a wall as an entrance to a room. Mouse holes are safer entrances than doors, which should be avoided. Doors are easy to booby trap. Therefore, the assault party should enter rooms through a mouse hole when they can. As with any entry, throw a hand grenade in first. You can clear out a room or a building with tear gas, but it makes it hard for you to enter unless you have a gas mask. But gas masks also limit your field of view, okay? So you can see moving inside of buildings is much more difficult than moving out in the countryside, very, very much so, okay? So now I'm going to start going over building entry techniques, okay? Now, basically, I'm talking about building entry. You're not attacking a building. It's just that you don't know what's in there. So you got to use these techniques so that you don't get hurt, okay? When entering a building in urban combat, you must be careful to enter with minimum exposure. Steps to follow include select the entry point before going toward the building. Avoid windows and doors. Use smoke to conceal your advance to the building. Make new entrances by using tools or explosives. Precede your entry with a hand grenade. Enter right after the grenade explodes when any enemy is stunned. Enter covered by teammates. So, entry at upper levels. We're talking about if a building is, you know, a tall building, okay? The preferred method of clearing a building is from the top down. Clearing or defending a building is easier from the upper stories. Gravity and the building's layout become assets. Instead of liabilities when throwing a hand grenade and when moving from floor to floor, a defending enemy who is forced to the top may be cornered and fight desperately or escape over the roofs, while one who is forced to the ground level may be tempted to withdraw from the building, thus exposing himself to friendly fires from the outside or from your fires also. Various means, such as ladders, drainage pipes, vines, or the roofs or windows of adjoining buildings, may be used to reach the top floor or roof of a building. In some cases, one fighter can climb onto the shoulders of another fighter to reach high enough to pull himself up. Scaling ropes are also useful. By attaching a grappling hook to the end of a scaling rope, a fighter can scale a wall, swing from one building to another, or gain entrance through an upstairs window. Just to clarify, the difference between a scaling rope attached to a grappling hook to go up and a rappelling rope to go down is that you tie notes in a scaling rope to make it easier to climb. You do not want rope knots in a rappelling rope because it will stop your descent. It is best to have two separate sets of rope. Okay, grappling hook technique. Select a suitable grappling hook and rope. I found one at this Big Five sporting goods store. I mean,
a grappling hook.
I had to look around, but you can find them, you know. The grappling hook should be sturdy, portable, easily thrown, and equipped with hooks which are likely to hold inside a window. The scaling rope should be 5/8 to 1 inch in diameter and long enough to reach the upper story windows. Knots tied in the rope at 1 foot intervals will make climbing easier. And when you're climbing, you can use the knots just for your hands, but you can use your feet to push against them to help you get up, okay? When throwing the grappling hook, stand as close to the building as possible. The closer the thrower stands, the less he is exposed to enemy fires from different directions. At close range, you do not have to throw the hook as far. When throwing a grappling hook, allow the rope to pay out freely. The thrower should have enough rope to reach the target. In your throwing hand, you should have the hook and a few coils of rope. The remainder of the rope and loose coils should be in your other hand. The throw itself should be a gentle, even, upward lob of the hook, with your other hand releasing the rope as it pays out.
You can practice this in the backyard somewhere. You can practice this at home, of course.
Sure,
you should.
Sure. Ensure that the grappling hook has a solid hold before beginning to climb. Once the grappling hook is inside the window or on the roof, you should pull on the rope to get a good hold. When using a window, the hook should be pulled to one corner to ensure the chances of a good bite and to reduce exposure to lower windows during the climb.
Mm-hmm.
So other scaling techniques. When forced to scale a wall during exposure to enemy fire, use all possible concealment. Smoke and diversionary measures will improve the chances of successful exposed movements. When using smoke for concealment, plan for wind direction and use enough smoke. Use methods such as weapons firing,
Mitch, did you cover? How do we generate smoke?
Well, I think I'm going to talk about that, but basically, you can make smoke grenades. Once again, go to YouTube. Now, smoke grenades are different. You can make those in peacetime, but you have to check your state. In some states, it's perfectly okay to make a smoke grenade. In other states, it may be against the law. Some states, a switchblade is legal. In other states, it's a big no-no. So you have to check your own local law. But there's no federal law concerned with smoke grenades, okay? So your fighters moving from building to building and climbing buildings should be covered by friendly fire. Areas between buildings generally offer good fields of fire to the enemy. A fighter scaling an outside wall is particularly vulnerable to enemy sniper fire. Properly positioned friendly weapons can suppress and eliminate enemy fire. Fighters scaling walls should avoid silhouetting themselves in windows of uncleared rooms. A fighter scaling an outside wall using a rope should avoid exposing himself to enemy fire from a lower window. The climber should clear the lower room with a hand grenade before ascending outside the window. The objective of upper story windows should also be entered only after a hand grenade has been thrown in. Enter the objective window with a low silhouette. Entry can be hit first. However, the preferred method is to hook a leg over the window and enter sideways, straddling the ledge. Okay. So I'm just going to mention here, I'll probably mention it again in the future, but when you can see from this that it becomes very necessary to have a lot of extra, very specialized equipment in order to fight in the city. A grappling hook, a rope for scaling, little ladders, tools so you can break through the wall, and hand grenades and smoke grenades in city fighting are almost essential. Okay, they're essential. And this is something that are useful when you're out in the woods, but not essential. Okay. So just think about all this extra stuff you got to carry with you to fight in the city. And you're going to use it up rapidly, okay?
So you have to have a backpack with this stuff in it. You can't run home to get it. So
right, and not only that, you've got to have your regular go bag plus all this additional stuff.
That's
you're
right.
going to have sledgehammers. You're going to have like channel locks to break into, you know, burglary tools to get into buildings and stuff.
Right.
So you've got to carry all this extra stuff with you. That's what I'm saying. Get out of the city. You know, I'm telling you how to fight in the city, but that's just in case you get stuck there. Okay, as soon as the shit hits the fan, you need to go. Okay, you're going to have an opportunity in the first few days to get out of the city without having to fight your way out. Okay, you'll save yourself a lot of trouble.
Wow. All right. Keep the gas tank full, or at least have gas in a gas can.
Yep.
And get ready to go. And you've got to have a place to go. You can't just go. You've got to have a direction, a purpose. We'll talk more about that in the future. Thank you, Mitch, for the hands-on stuff. Really important.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. All righty. Good night. All right, Mitchell Henderson. And he'll be back next week. And we'll be back in 21 hours. Thanks for being here. Talk tomorrow.